Paul was talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he was talking, he said, Timothy, I want to tell you how you can avoid shipwreck in your life. And I would just say, as you look at the world today, there's a lot of people that are suffering shipwrecks in their life. Not an actual wreck on a ship, but things in their life are falling apart. Their lives are full of different circumstances and different things that if they had their way, they wouldn't be in their life, but they're there. And many of those things are the result of poor decisions on some people's parts. And Timothy was saying, I want to tell you about a couple guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander. They made a poor decision. They put away faith. Timothy, I want you to hang on to faith. I want you to hang on to the faith that says the word of God is enough. He mentions there the prophecies which went before on thee. Timothy was saved because of the word of God. He grew as a Christian because of the word of God. And Paul said, if you hang on to faith, you hang on to the faith that the word of God is enough, you'll be able to war a good warfare. Some, having put away that faith, have made a shipwreck of their life. And so tonight, I want to talk about how even we as Christians sometimes make decisions, and we make them on the wrong basis. I talked to three people this week all about making decisions. One was an older gentleman, one was an older lady, and one was the mom of a teenager that is facing a decision. And we talked about, you know, about how to make decisions and how to help people make decisions. But I want to direct your attention to the Acts chapter 27 tonight. There's a very famous shipwreck in that chapter. I had intended to read some of the verses, but I won't. I'll refer to them as I get to my points in my message. But this is a story of where Paul was arrested and he was put on a ship to Rome. He told them before they started that it was going to be a dangerous journey. He advised them not to sail. But the captain of the ship made a decision to sail, and at the end of chapter 27, we see the ship grounded and wrecked on an island. All the folks were saved because Paul had prayed for them. They all made it safely to the island, but the ship was wrecked. And there's some things about making decisions in that story that I want to point out to you tonight. That if we make, and I'm going to use a sort of reverse psychology, I'm going to tell you how not to make a decision. I'm going to tell you what not to decide upon in the hopes that you'll do just the opposite and make decisions based on this book and base decisions based on how the God of this book leads us. And so all my points start out, we're headed for shipwreck if we make a decision based on this, and I have five things that I want to fill in the blank with tonight, okay? So here we go. We're headed for shipwreck if we make decisions based on impatience. If we make decisions because we get impatient and we don't think God is going to tell us what to do and we take matters into our own hands, we're going to make a shipwreck of our life. So let me just read a couple verses that illustrate that from Acts chapter 27. Verse 7 says, and when they had sailed slowly many days, and then verse 9 says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous. You read those two verses and it implies that the folks on that ship got impatient. They thought they should have made more progress than they had. And they thought they ought to be further along than they had. When people get impatient, many times they get impulsive. And when people get impulsive, they make the wrong decisions. We need to learn to wait on God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God has his timing set for everything that he has planned in our life. Now, sometimes we think God has taken too long. Sometimes we think God should move faster, and we get impatient with God. But the last part of that passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says, he, God, hath made everything beautiful in his time. And so, as we make decisions, we need to wait on God. Faith says, God knows better than I do how this decision is going to turn out. I just need to be patient, wait for his guidance, trust him, and decide as he leads me. In Psalm 37, verse 7, the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 27, 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, most of you know I'm sort of an impatient person. I've told you before how impatient I get when at McDonald's they say, please pull forward. And I want to say, look, all I ordered was a hamburger. You don't have a hamburger that you can give me right now? You want me to pull forward and wait for a hamburger? I almost say I want my money back, but I'm usually hungry, so I pull forward and wait. But God says, look, and so many of us, and you may not admit it, but so many of us are impatient about the things of life. We think that God should tell us what we ought to do. We think God ought to tell us right now. And God says, no, I just want you to have faith. I want you to just depend on me. I want you to just wait on me. And in my perfect timing, I'll tell you what I want you to do. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Everybody knows the story of Abraham and Sarah. God made them a promise. Hey, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a child, and through that child, I'm going to bless the earth. Your descendants are going to outnumber the stars. They're going to outnumber the grains of sand in the desert. And Abraham and Sarah waited and waited and waited and waited. I mean, she was 90 years old. She was 89 years old. He was 99. They were well past the age of childbearing. They said to themselves, God must have forgotten us. He must have forgotten the promise that he made to us. We're going to help him out. I want to tell you tonight, God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need us to help him accomplish his will. He wants us to be a part of fulfilling that will, but he doesn't need for us to set the timing. So they took matters into their own hands. You know the story. I don't need to tell you. Sarah sent Abraham into her maid, Hagar. They had a son, Ishmael. And Abraham is known for a man of faith, and yet he got impatient and took matters into his own hand, made a shipwreck. I mean, the Jews and the Arabs have been fighting ever since. And listen, when we get impatient, we'll get impulsive. And we get impulsive, we'll make a shipwreck of our life. So wait on God. He has a will for each of our lives. And I know some of you are saying, and Beulah, I'll just use you as an example. Here's a lady that's 104 years old. Do you know that God still has a will for Beulah's life? Do you know God still has a plan for Beulah's life? He does. And I'm sure that after 104 years, Beulah has learned to wait on God. Now, some of us that are younger need to learn that same thing. We need to learn that God has his perfect timing, and he will work and reveal his will to us in that perfect timing. And in that perfect timing, he will make everything beautiful. So don't get ahead of God. Don't be impatient. Keep the faith. Wait on him. Number two, we make a shipwreck of our life when we make decisions based on the experiences of men rather than the guidance that comes from God. In verse 9 of Acts chapter 27, here's what the Bible says. Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion, the soldier that was in charge of 100 men that was delivering Paul to Rome, believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul. Paul wasn't a sailor. The captain knew the ship certainly better than Paul did. The captain certainly had more hours sailing than Paul did. But whereas the captain knew the ship, Paul knew the God of the seas. The captain knew how to sail, but Paul knew the one that set the boundaries of the sea. The captain knew how to steer the ship, but Paul knew the one that could stay to the storm, peace, be still. And when Paul says, I perceive that much damage is going to come to the ship and our lives are going to be in jeopardy, he was relaying a message from God. And the centurion said, I'm going to believe the captain more than I will believe this man of God. And he knew he was a man of God. The centurion knew that Paul was a man of God. And yet he says, I'm going to believe the captain of our ship, of the ship, more than I'm going to believe the man of God. We are better off to make our decisions based on the wisdom that God will provide than depend on the experience of men. When Joshua went to fight the Battle of Jericho, he was paying attention to the captain of the Lord's army. When he went to fight the Battle of Ai, he listened to his soldiers. They said, oh, we don't need to send everybody. Let's just send about 3,000 men. Ai is a much smaller city than Jericho. We don't need to send the whole army. Let's just send 3,000 men. They didn't lose a man at Jericho. They lost 32 men at Ai because Joshua listened to men as opposed to the captain of the Lord's army. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, I don't care how experienced your accountant is. I don't care how experienced your mechanic is. I don't care how experienced your psychologist is. If they're not people of God, don't take counsel from them. Amen. Number three, we're headed for shipwreck if we make decisions based on comfort. They had reached the safety of a harbor. But the Bible says in verse 12, the haven was not commodious to winter in. In other words, it wasn't comfortable. They had a Motel 8 instead of a Hilton. They had a McDonald's instead of Lucky's. I mean, they didn't have all the things that made this place desirable to stay in. And so they said, well, we're not very comfortable here, so let's move on. Let's go somewhere else. Let's keep sailing, even though the man of God has says this journey is going to be dangerous. It doesn't matter if we're comfortable or not. It matters what God says. When Abraham gave Lot the opportunity to make a decision about where his family was going to live, the Bible says that Lot looked around. In one direction was desert. In the other direction was the well-watered plains. But those well-watered plains faced Sodom and Gomorrah. And rather than Lot, and I've always thought that Lot should have just said to Uncle Abraham, oh, no, Uncle, you're more wise than I am. You're more experienced than I am. You pick where you're going to live. I'll go the opposite direction. But Lot decided on comfort. It was going to be hard work to keep his animals and raise his animals in this direction. So he says, I'm going to be more comfortable. I'll pick the well-watered plains that are directed toward Sodom. And he made a shipwreck of his life because he made that decision on comfort. Number four, we're headed for shipwreck when we make decisions that follow the majority. Verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. So they got democratic. They took a vote. How many of you want to stay here? Only a few hands went up. How many of you want to try to get to a better place? Many hands went up. And so the majority voted, and the majority said, no, we don't want to stay here where it's safe. We don't want to stay here in this harbor that we're already in. We're willing to risk the ship, and we're willing to risk our life to get someplace that's more comfortable. And they voted, and the majority ruled, and they ended up in shipwreck. When the nation of Israel were at the border of the promised land, they took a vote. They'd sent the spies in. The spies had spent 40 days spying out the land. They'd come back with a good report of the land, but they said, oh boy, there's giants that live here. The cities are strong. The walls are strong. There's no way we could take it. They took a vote. It was everybody to two. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, I'm sure Moses voted with them, but so it was everybody to three. Everybody said, oh no, we can't take it. Let's elect a captain. Let's go back to Egypt. We don't want to go in and get killed. Joshua and Caleb said, look, if God be for us, who can be against us? If he wants us to have this land, it doesn't matter how big the giants are. It doesn't matter how big the cities are. It doesn't matter how big the walls are. If God wants us to have it, we can take it. But they took a vote, and the vote said no. Anytime we make decisions based on the majority, we're not making the right decision. You know, Brother Don and I were talking before the service. He told Sue, he said, when our subscription's up, we're going to cancel our TV contract. There's nothing to watch. If you watch TV enough, you think that everybody is involved in adultery. You think that everybody is a homosexual. You think that everybody is a liar. I mean, if you watch TV, that's the way it's pictured for the most part on TV. That's what the majority wants. I'll tell you tonight, that's not what the majority wants. We've talked about the silent majority. It's time for the silent majority become vocal. It's time for the silent majority to stand and say, we are a Christian nation, a nation whose Constitution and Bill of Rights was built on this book, and we're going to say to the world that we're going to stand for the things of God. We can do that as we go to the polls on Tuesday. It doesn't matter what the newspapers or the radio stations say. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We are headed for shipwreck if we follow the majority. We need to stand, even if we stand alone. Well, I go back to the thief on the cross this morning. Everybody else had turned against Christ. Everybody else was reviling him. Yeah, his mother stood at the foot of the cross, and the other Mary stood at the foot of the cross, and John stood at the foot of the cross. The only supporters that he had in the crowd, the rest of the disciples were gone. The crowd was jeering him. The rulers wanted him dead. And the thief said, I don't care if the world is against Jesus. I'm standing with him. And that's what we need to do. And then number five, we're headed for shipwreck when we allow circumstances to dictate our decisions. Again, let me read another verse from chapter 27 of Acts. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, and they had a hurricane. They wanted to leave the place that they were. And so when circumstances changed, when the wind began to blow softly, they said, oh, we can make it now. We don't have to worry about the storm. Circumstances have changed. And yet, circumstances changed again. They got out of the harbor, and they ran into this cyclone, this hurricane, whatever you want to call it. And any time we make decisions based on circumstances, as opposed to the will of God, as opposed to the word of God, as opposed to faith in God, we're heading for a shipwreck in our life. Naomi, her husband and two sons, circumstances said, hey, we're having a famine in our land, but over there in Moab, everything's going good. And so because of circumstances, they picked up, left the place where God wanted them to be, their home, the place where they owned property as a Jew. And owning property as a Jew was paramount. I mean, you just didn't give up your property. And yet they left home and they moved to Moab because circumstances were better. The grass was greener. Things, it seemed like it was going better over in Moab. And you know the story. Her husband died. Her two sons died. She was left a widow. Two daughter-in-laws. And she came back. Her name Naomi means pleasant. When she came back home, she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. My life's not pleasant anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Made a shipwreck because they made a decision based on circumstances. And so I close with the way I started. Hang on to faith. God has a perfect will. He will reveal that will if we seek it, but if we wait on him. Now look, he knows what's going on. He knows when we need to make decisions. Sometimes we think we got to make decisions before we have to make decisions. I always tell people, don't cross the bridge till you get to it. Give God time to work. Be patient. Wait on him, and he'll direct. Hang on to faith. This book is what we need. This book is what you need tonight if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. This book tells us we're all sinners. This book tells us there's a penalty for that sin. This book tells us that Jesus paid the penalty for that sin. This book tells us if we'll ask him, he'll save us. If you're here tonight, best decision you can make. Forget about all the other ones you have to make. The best decision that you can make tonight if you're here and you're not saved is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Yeah, I mean, you need to make that decision to save your life from shipwreck before you need to make any other. He'll save you if you ask him. If you trust him, he'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the whole service, for everything we've experienced tonight. And I pray, Father, that now you'll speak to our hearts. If there's something that we need to do tonight, I pray you'll make it clear to us. I pray that we'll be obedient. I pray if there is somebody here that's never trusted Christ, that they'll see their sin, they'll see the price that Jesus paid for it on Calvary, and they'll trust him tonight to make them right with you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through him. So I pray you'd help them come to him. So just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.